Good morning to everybody. We're so glad that you're here. I know you've heard it a bunch of times, but once again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house. I think it's awesome that you're here. You brought your family here to worship and praise our Heavenly Father. And so thank you for joining us today doing that. This was my Father's Day gift. I got this last night. I really like it. I've been called bruh before. Many times. And so we're glad that you're here. We're going to dive right into skirmishes today. And we've been spending a lot of time looking at skirmishes in the Old Testament. And my plan is to now jump into the New Testament and begin to look at some skirmishes that took place there. And as we, you know, jump into the New Testament, of course, I wanted to look at Jesus. Like, what are some of the skirmishes involving Jesus? Of course, the first thing that came to mind is the religious leaders, right? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, how they came at him. But then I was drawn to one of his disciples that he ended up having skirmishes with. Anyone maybe have an idea of who that disciple might be? Peter. Who said? Yeah, Peter. And so I'm gonna spend some time kind of just looking through, examining Peter's life and how we can look at and view ourselves in some of these situations. And here's the deal. Just as there are misconceptions about what it means to follow and live for Jesus in our day and age, the same is true and was true at the beginning of Jesus's ministry and when he set out to start the early church. For the first disciples, first followers, many thought and believed that Jesus was coming to overthrow Rome. He was coming to start a military revolution. The Jews were looking for a physical skirmish, right? They wanted to fight. They wanted to take down their oppressor, Rome. And they wanted the Messiah to come and beat them down, right? And rise to power and take back control of their lives and of their land. But that's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to start a spiritual skirmish, right? With the powers of darkness, with the unseen spiritual forces. And what he did do is he defeated sin. And he rose from the grave. And what after that, he gifted us the power of the Holy Spirit when we choose to surrender our lives to him and give control over to God. And so that's what Jesus came to do. Now, Peter wrestled with this. His desires to have the Messiah be one who started a military revolution. And ultimately, this desire led him to say the wrong things and often act in the wrong ways. You know, it's one thing to say we're gonna follow Jesus or that we will obey Jesus. It's another thing entirely to actually follow through, to really follow him, to really obey him, as opposed to following our own desires, our own plans. And Peter was following Jesus. Now you could look, you could read through like, yeah, he was a follower of Jesus, but there were many moments that we get to see where he failed. He failed to follow Jesus, and instead he followed his own desires. And it led him to moments of failure in following Jesus as Messiah. Now, thankfully, this is what's so great. His moments of failure, they didn't define his future. And this is what's so important. It really is what I want to unpack today. Like, through humility and repentance, guess what? Our failure can actually strengthen our faith. And that's something that we're going to see play out. But I want to ask this question. Has anyone here ever felt like they failed in following Jesus or to be a follower of Jesus? Yeah, me too. Moments where like I knew what to do, what I was called to do, but I went in a different direction. You know, Jesus did, he came to die and to redeem us for our sins and he rose again and he reconciled our relationship with God. But at the end of the day, guess what? Sin is still a problem. And it often leads us in failure in our relationship with God and following Jesus. And so Peter has these moments of failure with Jesus. I want to focus on three, where his misguided words and actions kind of led him to failure as the follower. So the first one, Peter's first failure, is his rebuking of Jesus. Let me read this to you, Matthew 16, 21. From then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Oh no, Lord, this will never happen to you. But he turned and told Peter, get behind me, Satan. you are an offense to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but man's. And so in this rebuking of Jesus, Peter's speaking and desiring outcomes that are counter to God's will. Right? He just got this new calling. He's following who he believes to be the Messiah, and he's thinking what's going to take place, and there's going to be a rise to power, and it's going to be awesome, but it's not going to happen if Jesus is dead. And so he says, no, this won't happen. And this is the first time we see Peter try to get in the way of Jesus dying on the cross for us. Peter's second failure, I call it being forceful for Jesus. John 18, verse 7, and this is Jesus talking at the beginning. He says, then he asked them again, and they're in the garden, who is it you're looking for? Jesus the Nazarene, they said. I told you, I am he, Jesus replied. So if you're looking for me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the words he had said, I have not lost one of those you have given me. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. At that, Jesus said to Peter, sheath your sword. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me? And so in this moment, we see Peter being forceful for Jesus, cutting off the temple guard's ear, attempting to force his way to saving Jesus' life. Like he thought, you know what, this is my role. If I don't protect Jesus in this moment, if I don't save him, if I don't get in the way, then he's going to die. Again, going back to the first failure, he thinks that his role in life is to protect and save Jesus, and Jesus doesn't need any of that. So the second time, we see Peter get in the way of Jesus doing what God sent him to do. And then the third failure happens soon after. One we all know of, it's the denial of Jesus. In Luke 22, 55 through 62, this is later that night. Here's what it says. They lit a fire, and this is after Jesus was arrested and taken. Peter followed him. And they lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, and Peter sat among them. When a servant saw him sitting in the firelight and looked closely at him, she said, this man was with him too. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him. After a little while, someone else saw him and said, you're one of them too. Man, I am not, Peter said. About an hour later, another kept insisting, this man was certainly with him since he's also a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed, and then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. You know, in this denial of Jesus, because earlier that night, here's what Peter said, straight to Jesus' face. I will never deny you. I will never leave your side. I will go to the grave with you, Jesus. And then that moment comes, and he denies knowing him or being with him. In this moment, what's he fearing? He's fearing a similar fate of being arrested, of being beaten, of being put to death. And because he has that looming over him, instead of fighting for Jesus again, fearfully he backs away and denies Jesus. And so when it comes time for Jesus to die, Peter fearfully stayed out of the way of it this time. And so we have these three failures that take place. And now here's the deal. For Peter and for us, learning to follow Jesus, it is a process that will be riddled with failure. We will fail time and time again. And here's why this happens. Because as we attempt to follow Jesus, we bring things into it. Like what we've been taught by our family, by our friends, we bring in what we've gone through, our past circumstances, our current circumstances. We also bring into it what we want to see happen and how we desire to be blessed. And so we bring all of our own motives in. And when we start to follow him, here's what we do. We attempt to fit Jesus into our past, our purposes, and our future plans. We say, okay, this guy can help me out. And he can help me do all the things that I, and get over all the things that I want to do. And so if I can fit him into my agenda, it'll be great. And as we desire, or as we attempt to make Jesus meet our agenda, we ultimately fail him. We fail following him. We fail obeying him. As we encounter Jesus, like Peter, we'll have moments of failure when our words and our actions, they do not line up with the word and the will of God. And what I want you to know is, like, it's part of the process. Don't let it defeat you. But here's what you also need to know. Don't continue to live in it. In this process of following Jesus, there has got to be maturity. Where you learn from your mistake, and you see you're wrong, and you recognize it, and you move forward from it. I believe spiritual maturity will happen when there is conflict that leads to conviction, that leads to humility, and ultimately repentance. Conflict, conviction, humility, and repentance. That's where maturity is going to take place. And we see it in these moments with Peter, and we see it as we read other moments with Peter. He enters into these skirmishes, Jesus with himself, with others, and ultimately he has to come to a place where he humbles himself and repents of what he did. And as he does that, guess what happens? In his failure, as he turns to God, his faith is strengthened. And so throughout our lives as Jesus followers, our sinful nature will be in a skirmish with God. It's going to continue to happen. Like, God calls us to be holy, but our sinfulness presses up against that. And says, that's not like our natural inclination to be holy. And so we've got this tension going on. And so what tends to take place in our lives is we can find ourselves almost sometimes living like Peter did, where we rebuke Jesus, where we try to force Jesus on others in the wrong way, or we flat out deny him. So let me connect Peter's failures to potentially our own moments of failure. And so the first one, our first moment of failure is rebuking Jesus. And really what this is going against God's will. And that's what Peter was trying to do. He thought he knew better for Jesus and knew better the plans for Jesus. And so he stepped in and said, no, this won't happen. And I think sometimes when we're called to do something, to say something, to be holy, whatever it may be, we push up against that, right? Jesus calls us to live a certain way. The plans that God has for us, we rebuke it. And we say, no, that's not for me. I don't think I want to go that way. There are times when we rebuke forgiveness and grace and mercy and sacrifice and selflessness. The things that God calls us to be, we say, no, that's not for me. And when we rebuke Jesus, we fail to follow him. And we fail to live out God's plan for our lives. And much like Peter, we say, no, that will not happen. That's never gonna happen. That's what we're being called to, but we're saying no, and we push away and we rebuke Jesus. And when we force, or when we are rebuking Jesus, here's what happens. We enter into this skirmish with God. It's really what it is it's us wanting to live our way, our will, our plans, versus the things that God is calling us to. And so we gotta figure out a way to move away from rebuking Jesus and learning to live for him. The second moment of failure, this is the forcing Jesus on others. And really this is causing hurt to others. You know, often we can become agitated, overzealous, or even misdirected in our desire to have others come to know and live for Jesus. And because we know Jesus and we know what his word says and we see people living in their horrible, horrible sin, and we can say, oh my gosh, how could they live like this? Why wouldn't they ever know? And we begin to just like forcefully like jam Jesus and God's word like down their throat. And we do this as parents, as spouses, as friends. We're guilty of this. Oh, and we love doing this on social media, don't we? Just like, here, let me tell you something. And anytime anyone kind of rebuttals, oh, who are you? And we get real defensive about it. And listen, if you're not willing to have people come at what you say online, don't post it. If you're not willing to enter into a good conversation with someone online, don't post it. If you're not willing to back up, or don't even have the means to back up what you're saying, if it's not even scriptural, don't post it. But it's social media, you know, we can do whatever we want on there. Because who cares? We don't know who's seeing it. We don't know who's reading it. We don't know. In our effort to lead people to Jesus, the amount of people that are going, that's why I don't follow Jesus. And that's why I don't go to church. But what do we care? We got to say what we wanted to say. Just like Peter, right? That man said what he wanted to say all the time. And most of the time it got him in trouble. And he wasn't following Jesus. And so we try to force Jesus on others. Right, we take a stance and we say, this is in Jesus' name. This is on behalf of Jesus. And we're completely oblivious to the harm that it is doing to others or the fact that Jesus doesn't need us to defend him. He doesn't need you to. His word will do that all by itself. And when the Spirit is ready, it will do that for that person. When we force Jesus on others, we enter into a skirmish with them. And here's the thing. Jesus didn't say to his followers, come and fight for me. Or come and defend me. What did he say? Come and follow me. Follow me. What does that mean? Look at Jesus's life. Follow me in loving others. Follow me in showing grace and forgiveness to others. Follow me in being generous and sacrificial and selfless. Jesus says, as I gave all that I am to love and serve God and others, follow me. He doesn't need us to fight for him or defend him. We just need to follow him. Our third moment of failure comes in denying Jesus. And this is an unwillingness to die to self. If you've read any of the Gospels, if you've read any of the red letters, right? Jesus's words, his message to his followers is very, very clear. Go read Luke 14. Here's what it's gonna say. Things like, you gotta leave your family to follow me. You gotta take up your cross. Deny yourself. Sacrifice. That's what he calls us to. We kind of look at that and go, I don't like that passage. You know the one I'm talking about, where it says, if you don't hate father, mother, brother, sister, daughter, and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And everyone's like, whoa, I thought Jesus was about love. What is he saying in this moment? He's saying, listen, if you really want to follow me, it's going to cost you something. Your desire, your will, your plans, the things that you're going for, you're going to have to put those things behind me. They can't be priority. I need to be your priority. That's hard. It's really hard. Denying ourselves, forsaking all other things to live out his will. This may just be one of the hardest lessons when it comes to following Jesus. To really follow Jesus. If you want to follow him, that means you follow him to the cross. What does that mean? That you're willing to sacrifice yourself so that others can come to know God. Live in love. And so it's one thing to say we follow Jesus. It's one thing to say that we would give up everything to follow him. It's one thing to say that, man, if it came to it and I was persecuted for my faith, I would die for Jesus. It's another thing to follow through. Peter didn't. Now think about that. Peter, he spent 3 years with Jesus on this earth. Saw him do the miraculous things that we only get to read about. Said to his face while they're eating dinner, I won't deny you, Jesus. And when the time came, what did he do? It's a hard lesson. And typically when we deny Jesus, what we're entering into a skirmish with is ourself. It's a skirmish that is within. Are we really willing to take up our cross and follow him. And so that's the truth. Every failure Peter showcased, we may be tempted to repeat. Here's what it comes down to. Ready? Three things. Our issues with submission, surrender, and sacrifice. Those three words we don't like. Submission, surrender, and sacrifice. And see, often our failure to follow Jesus happens because of our inability to submit to God's will, to surrender our desires, and to sacrifice our selfishness. And those are the three things we're going to have to work on. There'll be moments where we fail in one or two or three. There'll be moments when we're living it out and we're doing it. But like I said, like as Jesus followers, like we'll have these moments of failure, these seasons of failure, times when we're unable to submit, to surrender, to sacrifice. But it's not those moments of failure that define our relationship with Jesus. And that's what I want to show you. It's not those moments of failure that define Peter's relationship with Jesus. It's what we choose to do next, right? Because what we could do, like we could choose to let our failures define us and say, I'll never meet up to that and I just keep failing. Or we can choose to let our failures strengthen our faith. It's no coincidence that Peter's failure was put on display all throughout Scripture. Sometimes I read through and I'm like, man, were these other disciples just messing with him? You know what I'm saying? Like they just didn't like him that much. No. But they were put on display. But just as much as his failure was put on display, so was his faith. And we get to see this transformation take place. He has skirmish with Jesus. He has a skirmish with others. He has a skirmish within himself. But through Jesus, what? He's redeemed. And when he's redeemed, his faith is strengthened. And so look at this. Where Peter once rebuked Jesus and God's will, he then became a bold proclaimer of the gospel. You go read in Acts chapters 2-4. What you're going to see is that Peter is powerfully, boldly preaching the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And thousands of people come to know him. Right? So he rebuked Jesus' death at one point, but now he's boldly proclaiming and sharing. This is what Jesus did for you. And that he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave and thousands come to know him. Peter once caused harm and hurt to someone in Jesus' name, he then surrenders his desires and his wants and becomes a miracle worker. And he doesn't bring hurt anymore. He brings hope and he brings healing. Again, you go through Acts. Acts chapter 3, he heals a man who couldn't walk from birth. Go to Acts chapter 9, he heals a man that was paralyzed for 8 years. He raises a woman from the dead. And so there's this complete flip where he once denied Jesus. With the remainder of his life, he chooses to sacrifice himself by dying a martyr's death, showcasing an undeniable devotion as a follower of Jesus. I want to read to you from Acts 4, verse 13 and then 18-20. It says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized they had been with Jesus. And that's it. What's the difference? What's the deal with these guys? What do we know about them? Just a fisherman, I don't know. But he followed Jesus, and there it is. They followed Jesus, and they were bold. And so in verse 18, they called for them and ordered them not to preach or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide, for we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. And you go back to those moments where he denied Jesus 3 times. And you come to this moment and he says, never again will I ever deny or back away from my faith. Now here's what I want you to know. Peter's rebuke and that failure, it wasn't final. His preaching was. Peter's forceful hand wasn't final. His healing hand was. Peter's denial wasn't final. His devotion to Jesus was. Peter's failure wasn't final. His faith was. You see, the enemy, he desires to make our failure final. And when you fail, and when you mess up, and when you sin, and when you make a mistake, he'll say, that's who you are. You'll never be anything more than that. That's what you'll continue to do. But God comes along And he says, I desire to turn your failure into faithfulness. Right? And our faith is strengthened when we rely on him and not us, when we seek his will and not our own, when we recognize our failure, our mistakes, our sin, and we repent in humility, and ultimately we submit to his authority, to his full control in our lives. Now think about this. How many times after Peter denied Jesus, did Peter deny him again? Zero. Only happened once. How many other ears did Peter cut off? It was just that one. How many times do we see him rebuke God's plan of Jesus going to the... It was just that one time. And in these moments, Peter is redeemed. His failure is painfully evident, but his faith is what is powerfully experienced today. It's what we get to read about. It's what encourages us. And we can look at his failure and say, you know, that's me. But then we can look and say, but look where God brought him. And look what God did in him and through him. And that's what we hold on to. His failure was a part of his story. But his faith to follow redeemed him. And that's what became his identity. And so for you today, failure doesn't have to be final in your relationship with God. And if our failure doesn't have to be final in our relationship with God, then the same must be true of everything else. Then that means that our failure doesn't have to be final in our relationship with others. And our failure doesn't have to be final in our marriage. And our failure doesn't have to be final with our kids. And our failure doesn't have to be final at our work. Every failure we feel or experience, it can be turned into faith by simply turning from it and taking a few steps towards God. Where there is healing, where there is redemption, where there is forgiveness, where he says, that's not who you are. I sent Jesus to die for that and to redeem you from that. Learn from it, recognize it, repent of it, and then what's the, and follow me. And the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and the hope and the healing. I message you guys would just bow your heads and close your eyes. And you know, earlier I asked the question, have you ever felt like you failed, Jesus? And I already knew the answer because I know the answer for myself. So many times where my desires got in the way, where my agenda got in the way, where my past pain and my hurt, it just got in the way. And I failed to really follow Jesus, to live like him, to love like him, to serve like him, to give like him. So in what ways today do you feel like you're failing in your faith? What ways do you feel like you're failing in following Jesus, in your relationship with God? Are you failing to speak to God through prayer? Are you failing to get to know him more through scripture? Are you failing to give him glory through praise and worship? Are you failing to live for him through the use of your gifts and serving? Are you failing to obey him when he calls you to step out in faith? Are you failing to receive forgiveness because of your lack of repentance and continual living in sin? You may be in one of those places right now. And I just want to remind you today that your failure isn't final. Whatever that was, whatever that is, whatever you're going through, God can use it to strengthen your faith. But you've got to recognize it. You've got to own up to it. You've got to humbly seek him and seek repentance. I wonder today, in what ways have you rebuked Jesus or God's will in your life? Have there been times when you've been overly forceful with your faith towards others that had caused them hurt and pain and ultimately to walk away from the church? When it came to that moment where you were called to step out to do something that would cause you to be persecuted for your faith? Did you deny Jesus? It's in these moments that we can be strengthened, that we can grow our relationship with God. But we've got to recognize him first. We've got to learn to tell the enemy that just because I failed, that's not my identity. We've got to remember that our identity is in Christ. And that though we may fail or have failed and may fail again, he went to the cross for that. He died for that. And that doesn't give us the right to keep doing it. But what it does give us is redemption and reconciliation with God. And so we repent. And we say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how I misread that situation. I'm sorry for how I misspoke. I'm sorry for how my actions caused hurt and not hope. And I want to be better. I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow him. Show me humility. Show me grace. Grow me, God. We've got to seek that in our lives. God, we're so thankful for your word. In it, we don't find perfect people. And it's encouraging to us. Because it's hard to live for you and follow you in this world. And the enemy comes at us and calls us a failure and tells us we're a failure and that we'll always be a failure, God. And I just pray right now that we would stop listening to that voice and come and hear your voice, the Father's voice, speaking truth over us, telling us to turn away from that failure and step into faith. God, may we be like Peter, boldly proclaiming your son, Jesus, in both our words and our actions. God, may we be like Peter when you call us to something that is uncomfortable, unknown, that is scary, or might lead us to feeling hurt, pain, or loss, or sacrifice. May we be willing to put it all in your hands and follow you. May we be like Peter, using our unique gifts and talents for your kingdom and for your glory. Thank you for the reminder today that our failure isn't final. That through the cross and through the resurrection, we are redeemed and we are reconciled. And it's our faith in you that is final. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.